السلام علیکم اسٹوڈینٹس، آپ کو منسٹری آف سائنس اینڈ ٹیکنالوجی پاکستان، ورچوئل یونیورسٹی اور مبشر ہمایوں کی طرف سے خوش آمدید. ویلکم ٹو اندر لیکچر ان دس کورس آن فائنینشیل مینجمنٹ. وی ہیو بین اسپیکنگ اباؤٹ شیئر پرائز ویلیویشن فار دی پاسٹ فیو لیکچرز، اینڈ وی ول کنٹینیو دا ڈسکشن ٹوڈے، اینڈ وی ول فوکس آر اٹینشن آن دی ویلیویشن آف common stock under perpetual or very long-term investment. We will briefly go over the zero growth model and the constant growth model that we covered in the previous lecture, and then we will go on to another approach for calculating the estimated share price, which is known as the EPS or earnings per share approach. تو آئیے سب سے پہلے ہم پچھلے لیکچر کی مٹیریل کو ریویو کریں. اس میں ہم نے کامن شیئر پرائس ویلیویشن فار پرپیچوئل یا لانگ ٹرم انویسٹمنٹ کی دو اپروچز ڈسکس کی تھی، ایک زیرو گروتھ اپروچ اور دوسری کانسٹنٹ گروتھ اپروچ. زیرو گروتھ اپروچ میں ہماری ایسٹیمیٹڈ فیئر پرائس کا فارمولا پی وی از اکول ٹو ڈیو ون ڈیوائڈیڈ بائی آر سب سی ای تھا. ان ادر ورڈز، دی ایسٹیمیٹڈ فیئر پرائس آف دی کامن شیئر انڈر پرپیچوئل انویسٹمنٹ اینڈ ازیومنگ دی زیرو گروتھ ان ڈیویڈنڈز از اکول ٹو the forecasted dividends for the first year divided by the required rate of return on the common share. In the case of the constant growth model, we assume that the dividends are growing at a constant growth rate. And we mentioned that we can estimate that constant growth rate based on the inflationary growth rate. So if the inflation rate in a country is 10%, then we can assume that the dividends will also grow at the rate of 10% per year. We can also use accounting data to estimate the growth rate in the dividends, and we will just talk about the formula for G, or the growth rate in dividends, which is equal to the plowback multiplied by the ROE or return on equity. So in this particular case of the constant growth model, the formula for the estimated fair price of the common share under perpetual or very long-term investment is equal to the forecasted dividends for the first year divided by R sub CE minus G. And here the terms div 1 and R sub CE are the same as the way we defined them for the formula for zero growth model. Now we've spoken about estimating the fair price of common shares under very long-term investment, but it's equally important to be able to estimate the required rate of return. We have to take both things together. We spoke about this earlier, that when we were talking about the capital budgeting and investment criteria, we mentioned that we have to look both at the net present value as well as the IRR. The net present value is a measure of the value or the price of an asset or a security, and the IRR is a measure of the rate of return of a particular asset or project or investment. So we have to take a look at both things, value as well as rate of return as a percentage. Similarly, for the case of direct claim securities like shares that we have been talking about, we can use the same equations and we can rearrange them to solve for the required rate of return, which is equal to R sub CE. So, if we rearrange our present value formulas, and if we solve them for the required rate of return, then in the case of the zero growth approach, we will find that R sub CE is equal to div 1 divided by P sub naught. In other words, the required rate of return for investment in a common share under very long-term investment is equal to the forecasted dividend for the first year divided by the estimated present price. If you know the actual market price, then in this particular case you can use it because you are interested in calculating the required rate of return. Similarly, for the case of the constant growth model, we can rearrange the formula for present value and solve it in terms of R sub CE. And in that case, R sub CE is equal to div 1 divided by P sub naught plus G. And this particular formula, the way it is written, is known as Gordon's formula. And this is basically the formula that we use to compute the required rate of return on common stock under the constant dividend growth model for perpetual investment. If you look at this formula, then there are two terms in the Gordon's formula. The first term, div 1 divided by P sub naught, is known as the dividends yield, and the second term, which is G, represents the growth or the growth in the dividends in the future. So if we take a look at Gordon's formula, R sub CE is equal to div 1 divided by P sub naught plus G. And in Gordon's formula, the first term, div 1 divided by P sub naught, represents the dividend yield. And the second term, G, represents the capital gains yield. And the reason why we use these terms is because div 1 divided by P sub naught basically is the fraction of the present price that is represented by the dividends. The dividend yield tells you what fraction of the total price is the value of the dividend. And the second term, G, the capital gains yield, is simply a lumped measure of the expected increase in dividend that you expect in the future over the life of the investment. And effectively, that represents a capital gain for the investor. Now, if you take a look at the formulas that we have been discussing for the last couple of lectures for the valuation of share price, you will note that these formulas have used the forecasted dividends. And that is why we call these formulas the dividend yield approach to calculating share price. We have used dividends as a direct measure of the cash flows that a stockholder receives from the security. So we mentioned that we will calculate the value of an asset or a security based on the cash flows that it generates in the future. any working asset or working security can be valued based on the future cash flows that it generates. So we began valuing shares based on the dividend income that a shareholder receives. Now there is another approach to valuing shares, and that approach is known as the EPS approach, or the earnings per share approach. Quite simply, in the earnings per share approach, our perspective is not the direct cash flow that is generated by the share certificate. Rather, we value the share based on the cash flows that are generated by the company whose share we're talking about. In other words, in the EPS approach, you use the cash flows that are generated by the assets of the company to estimate the value of the share. And we can do that. Why? Because we mentioned very early on that for direct claim securities like bonds and stocks, the value of the security can be calculated based on the cash flows generated by the underlying assets. And if you talk about a share, well, the underlying asset for a share are the assets of the company, and those assets generate cash income. And we can calculate the value of a share based on the cash income that that company generates. So that is the conceptual logic behind the earnings per share approach. Now let's take a look at the EPS approach to calculating share price. Under the EPS approach for calculating the share price of a common share under perpetual investment, in other words, if we want to estimate the price of a common stock under very long-term investment, the formula we use is that the estimated fair price, or the present value, is equal to the forecasted earnings per share for the next year divided by the required rate of return for the common stock plus the present value of the growth opportunities. Now let me explain this equation in detail, because this equation embodies a lot of the concepts that we have been talking about in financial management, and it's important to understand the conceptual logic behind the earnings per share or EPS approach to calculating common stock prices. The terms in the equation need to be understood. Firstly, the P sub naught represents the estimated present fair price or intrinsic price of the common stock in the case of a very long-term investment. EPS 1 in the formula, and just to refresh the formula, PV is equal to EPS 1 divided by R sub CE plus PVGO. Now, EPS 1 represents the forecasted earnings per share in the next period, and generally that refers to the next year. R sub CE is the term that we have been talking about for the last couple of lectures. It represents the required rate of return on investment in the common stock equity. The new character in our drama is PVGO. PVGO stands for the present value of growth opportunities. And what does this mean? This is basically the present value of the potential growth in the business from reinvestment in new projects and investments that have positive net present value. The formula for PVGO is equal to NPV1 divided by R minus G, and that is equal to minus I sub naught plus C divided by R sub CE, all divided by R sub CE minus G. Now, we need to understand each one of these terms and where they're coming from very, very clearly. So if you take a look at this formula, let me go through each one of the terms and conceptually explain what is going on. G represents the constant growth, and this growth is the growth in the net present value from reinvestment in new projects. So now let's study the PVGO term in detail. PVGO is equal to NPV1 divided by R minus G. And let's take a look at the numerator in detail first. As a whole, this present value of growth opportunities term is basically a perpetuity formula with constant growth. When you look at the formula NPV1 divided by R minus G, you will recall the similarity to the perpetuity formula with constant growth. Except over here, what we are saying is that the net present value from reinvestment at the end of the first year will grow perpetually at a growth rate G. Now, G can be calculated using financial ratios. G is equal to the plowback multiplied by ROE. ROE is the return on equity. Plowback is defined as 1 minus the payout ratio, and the payout ratio is equal to dividends divided by the earnings per share, or EPS. EPS is defined as the net income minus the dividends, all divided by the number of common shares outstanding. The ROE is defined as the net income divided by the book equity of the common stocks outstanding. So these are definitions that you should recall from financial accounting. Now, when we look at the detailed method for calculating the NPV, you will see that NPV1 is equal to minus I sub naught plus C divided by R sub CE. And this should remind you of the traditional way that we have been calculating net present value. Minus I sub naught is an initial investment term, and the C divided by R sub CE is the discounted cash flow term. C divided by R sub CE should remind you of the present value formula for perpetuities, where you assume that you are generating a net cash inflow of C every year. I sub naught represents the value of the reinvestment by the company. This is money that has not been paid out to the shareholders in the form of dividends. And this initial value of the reinvestment is defined as plowback multiplied by the EPS. We have already defined the plowback as 1 minus the payout, in other words, 1 minus dividends divided by EPS. And EPS is defined as the net income minus dividends divided by the number of shares outstanding. Then we need to take a look at the term C, which represents the constant cash flows generated from the reinvestment in the projects. C is defined as the value of the reinvestment, which is I sub naught, multiplied by ROE, which is the return on equity. Now, you should be familiar with this formula, and you should understand what the different terms in this formula mean. Now, just to remind you, in the EPS approach to calculating the estimated fair price of a common share, our conceptual logic was that we will calculate the value of the piece of paper based on the cash flows that the real assets of the company are generating. And we mentioned that we can do this because the value of direct claim securities can be derived from the cash flows of the underlying assets. So in the EPS approach, we are talking about the company and the cash flows and the income that the company generates. In the case of the dividends approach that we were talking about earlier in the previous lectures, we are talking about the cash flows that the piece of paper generates directly, which are known as dividends. In the EPS approach, we have the formula, which is that the estimated price is equal to the forecasted dividends for the first year divided by the required rate of return plus PVGO. And this PVGO, present value of growth opportunities, is different from G, or the growth rate, that we were talking about in the dividends approach. That was the growth rate in the dividends. This is PVGO. This is the potential growth in the value of the business from future investments in new projects. And the basic model that we use to estimate this present value of the company, which is coming from investment in future projects with positive NPV, is that we assume that the company saves a part of their net income every year in the form of retained earnings. So, in this particular model of the present value of growth opportunities, we are assuming that the company saves a part of their annual net income in the form of retained earnings, or in other words, money that is plowed back into the company. We assume that this retained earning is invested in projects that will yield positive NPV. In this particular model of EPS, we are assuming that the company makes an investment in a project each year, and that the cash flows that the project generates are constant and perpetual. So we can use the perpetuity formula for constant cash flows in order to calculate the net present value from any one of these projects. The model also assumes, if you look at the formula carefully and refresh your formulas for perpetuity with growth, that the net present value from investments that the company makes in new projects grows at a constant growth rate G, perpetually. So, there are some recursive aspects to this formula, which I think most of you should be familiar with, and there are some nested variables that you need to take a look at. So, please spend some time and get familiar with the formula for the EPS approach to calculating the estimated fair price of a common share, and also try to understand its conceptual logic. Now, let us do an example which will help us to understand and to compare the two approaches that we have, one which we have been studying in the earlier lectures, which was the dividends approach, and the second approach which we talked about in this lecture, which is the earnings per share approach. So let us assume that we are interested in estimating the fair price of the share of a company, ABC, which is being traded in the Islamabad Stock Exchange. Let us assume that the actual market price of this share is 105 rupees. We can get this information because it is published in daily newspapers in Pakistan. Now, let us also assume that our required or expected rate of return from investing in the share of company ABC is 20% per year. This is higher than the risk-free rate of return in Pakistan, which is 10%. Why? Because we feel that investment in the shares of company ABC carry a certain amount of risk. And therefore, to compensate for that extra risk, we expect a higher rate of return from this investment. Let us also assume that the forecasted dividend for the next year is 10 rupees. And we have come up with this answer based on our analysis of the annual reports and previously published historical financial statements and financial data. Let us also assume that based on our analysis of this company's financial data, that we expect a growth in the dividends of 10% per year. Also from our analysis, we have concluded that the forecasted earnings per share for this company in the upcoming year will be 12 rupees. So we are now in a position to talk about the estimation of the fair price of the common share of company ABC using two approaches. First, the dividends approach that we had been talking about in the previous lectures, and secondly, the EPS or earnings per share approach, which we talked about in this lecture. So now let us go over the numerical calculations and let us estimate what the price of this share should be. Firstly, let's use the dividends yield approach, which is also Gordon's formula for calculating the estimated share price of a common share under perpetual investment. If you take a look at the formula, PV is equal to the expected fair price, P sub naught star, which is equal to div 1 divided by R sub CE minus G. That is equal to 10 divided by 20% minus 10%. Which is equal to 10 divided by 0.1, and that is equal to 100 rupees exactly. Keep in mind that the estimated fair price of 100 rupees that we have just calculated is less than the actual market price of 105. So in this case, the share is overvalued by the market. Now let us calculate the expected fair price of this share using the EPS approach. This time we are using the future expected incomes and earnings of the company to calculate the value of the share. PV in this case is equal to EPS 1 divided by R sub CE plus PVGO. Let us calculate the value of each of the terms. Firstly, the EPS 1 divided by R sub CE is equal to 12 divided by 0.2, which is equal to 60 rupees. Now we need to compute the second term in the EPS equation, which is PVGO. Before we can calculate PVGO, we need to compute what the plowback percentage is. That is equal to 1 minus the payout, which is equal to 1 minus the forecasted dividends at the end of the first year divided by the forecasted earnings per share in the first year. That is equal to 1 minus 10 divided by 12, which is equal to 1 over 6 or 1/6. We also need to calculate the value of G before we can compute PVGO. G is equal to the plowback times ROE. That is equal to 10%. Therefore, we have the value of G, which is 10%. And we know that the plowback is equal to 1/6. So we can calculate the return on equity, or ROE, which is equal to the growth rate G divided by the plowback. That is equal to 1/10 divided by 1/6, and that is equal to 6 over 10. Now, coming back to computing PVGO, that is equal to NPV1 divided by R minus G. That is equal to minus I sub naught plus C divided by R, all divided by R minus G. That is equal to minus the plowback times EPS plus I sub naught times ROE divided by R sub CE, all divided by R sub CE minus G. And that is equal to, if you add up all the terms and make the necessary divisions, the answer that we get for PVGO is 40 rupees. Please note that the estimated price according to the EPS approach is then equal to EPS 1 divided by R plus PVGO, and that is equal to 60 rupees plus 40 rupees, adding up to a total of 100 rupees. Now, the point to note regarding the EPS approach formula is that it provides us with some very, very valuable information. The valuable information is that we estimate the share price to be 100 rupees, and out of this estimated price of 100 rupees, the value of the PVGO, or the present value of growth opportunities, is 40 rupees. PVGO represents 40% of the total estimated price of this share. In other words, this kind of a share is what we call a growth share, where the value of the share is determined by the potential of this company to grow its business, as opposed to a company which has a low growth, and these are companies that are typically in their maturity stage of the cycle. So, particularly for IT, technology and internet companies, where we expect a high rate of growth for the business, the PVGO term is a large percentage of the estimated price of the share for the company. So, let us review what we have covered so far about our discussion regarding the valuation of shares or stocks. Keep in mind that we will be returning to the valuation of securities such as bonds and shares after we have covered risk and return and capital structuring. But for now, let us go over some of the formulas and principles that we've talked about. We mentioned when we are talking about shares that we need to make a distinction between the two types. One of them is the preferred share and the other one is the common share. In the case of the preferred share or preferred stock, the dividends are fixed by the company, whereas in the case of the common stock, the dividends are variable and uncertain. This is why the formulas that we use in calculating the expected fair price for the two kinds of shares are different. For the case of the preferred share, where the dividend is fixed, if we are talking about a perpetual investment or a very, very long-term investment, the expected price or present value is equal to the dividends divided by the required rate of return on investment in the preferred stock. Now, if we talk about the case of trying to estimate the price of a common share, then we need to go back to our fundamental equation for present value, which is perhaps the most important equation that we learn in this course in financial management. We use this present value equation to estimate the price of a bond, and we also can use this equation and the same concept to estimate the price of a common share. So the present value or the estimated price of the common share can be estimated using our old friend the NPV formula or the present value formula. The estimated price of the common share is equal to the sum of the future dividends divided by 1 plus R sub CE plus the final selling price of the share divided by 1 plus R sub CE raised to the power N, where N is the year in which you sell the share. Now, we mentioned that when we talk about estimating the fair price of a common share for perpetual investment, it is not an easy exercise because we would have to forecast the dividends for each and every year in the future, and that's not practical. So we come up with two simplifications, one of which is known as the zero growth approach, and the other one is known as the constant growth approach. When we talk about the zero growth model to estimating the fair price of a common share under very, very long-term or perpetual investment, then our formula for the present value simplifies to the dividends divided by R sub CE. When we talk about using the alternative approach, which is the constant growth approach, then we are assuming that the dividends will continue to grow at a constant rate, G. And we can estimate G either using the rate of inflation, or we can estimate G using financial ratios, where G is equal to the plowback times ROE. But in this case of the constant growth model for estimating the price of a common share under long-term investment, the present value is equal to the forecasted dividend for the first year divided by R sub CE minus G. So we are then able to estimate the price of a common share based on certain simplifications of the more complicated present value formula. If you're interested in figuring out how we come up with the simplified formulas in these two models, it is quite a straightforward mathematical exercise, and it is a matter of estimating what the limit of the sum of the geometric series which are generated by the present value equation will be. We spoke a little bit about keeping in mind the distinction between the fair price that we are estimating using present value equations and the actual market price that is prevailing in the stock market. Keep in mind, please, that what we are calculating here is a theoretical estimated fair price for the share, and it may not equal the actual market price. The reason for that is when you calculate the estimated fair price, you are the one who's calculating it, and you are using a required rate of return for yourself based on your own risk profile and based on your personal opportunity costs. Whereas the market price is determined by the supply and demand for the share and the perceptions and the confidence of the entire market and all the investors, not just yourself. So if you calculate the fair price using our formulas, and if you find that the fair price is something which is higher than the actual market price, then the share is undervalued, and generally it is a good idea to buy it. As more and more people or investors buy the share, there will be an upward pressure on the price as the demand goes up, and you will find that the market price becomes almost equal to the fair price, and that is why we see the efficient pricing phenomena in efficient markets. Finally, then, we spoke about an entirely alternative approach, which was that of the earnings per share, or EPS. Here we're estimating the value of the piece of paper or share based on the cash flows generated by the underlying assets, which are the assets of the company that has issued the share. Over here, we said that the estimated fair price of the common share under perpetual or long-term investment is equal to the forecasted earnings per share for the first year divided by the required rate of return for the investment in the common equity plus PVGO. And this term, PVGO, represents the present value of growth opportunities, which is basically the present value that a shareholder expects to receive if the company continues to invest in new projects that generate positive NPV. We went over the formula for PVGO. That is equal to the estimated or forecasted net present value from reinvestment in the first year divided by the required rate of return for the investment in common equity minus the growth rate G. I would urge you to review the formulas for stock valuation from the textbook Brigham and Gapensky, and also try to do as many problems from the end of the chapter as you can, other than the homework assignments that we pass out to you. With this, I close this lecture on the earnings per share and dividends approach to calculating share price. I thank you for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Ministry of Science and Technology Pakistan, Virtual University, aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum.